Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Bat Boys. This is Tim speaking. Sam, welcome to our 89th episode.
Wow, Tim. That's great. That's wonderful.
89th episode. Sam, in this episode, we have to explain to our wonderful listeners how the hell we're in eighth place. We've captured 1 point out of 9. Just 2 episodes ago, Sam.
We were in first place.
Tied for first.
And Tim, what's really sad about that is that that episode we recorded and we were such on like this, it was like such a jubilant episode. We were just so happy and festive and we didn't post it.
We didn't post it. I apologize to everyone. I uploaded it, saved it, so you have to hit publish.
And it was like the height of Valencia for the last, 3 years.
It was the most fun episode we've shot in 3 years, and our listenership dropped 75% week over week.
Yeah.
That tipped me off. So apologies, Sam. Thank you for posting it. 87 was up. Go back, listeners. Check it out.
Looking for just remembering how wonderful things were, listen to podcast 87 before we talk about the sad events that have followed it.
Yeah. Because they quickly start to fall off because
unravel. We had an unraveling.
88, we talked about Real Madrid. The gut-wrenching game against Real Madrid, which saw us lose in the last final minutes. And now, Sam, we have to explain to our listeners this Sevilla match and this Athletic Club match. You and I were just chatting prior to this. What do we want to talk about? What do you want to say? And I think you had a really good theme to help us kind of capture these past two games.
Is this the end of illusion, Tim? Is this the
end of illusion? Why is that?
And I will say I don't think it is, because as bad as that Sevilla match was, and we should talk about it, because we will talk about it. It was just completely, completely awful. My neighbor is a Tottenham fan, and he was watching Tottenham get like destroyed by Arsenal. It was like similar thing where, it's like your rival team. Sevilla is not necessarily our derby, our local rival, but they've become kind of the rival for us, for top four for many years. And you have them, you go to their stadium and you give up 3 goals in 20 minutes. I mean, it was just so bad. I was really worried, Tim, that it was like going to be like a 6-0 historic defeat. The way we talked about that Gary Lineker debacle against Barcelona, however many years ago that was now, like 5-6 years ago. I'm at least grateful that that didn't happen, but it was just horrible, Tim. Really, just really ugly soccer. And even after that, where we crawl our way back within two goals, we just never really looked like we were pushing for this game. It just really looked like it was a really bad 90 minutes from us.
Yeah. Well, I the way I was thinking of it too, Sam, is that I figured we would have a slump moment. Our progress doesn't happen in a straight line. So we're probably going to have some good results. Yeah. New coaches tend to actually have some really good starts, and then you start to see it level out, as the momentum changes, and they have to like continue their performance. So I'd imagine that this was going to happen. I didn't think it would be a 3-1 start to the Sevilla match, but I wasn't completely surprised. But what you and I were chatting about, Sam, is this game, although it was very painful, I think Sevilla was clearly the better team. We didn't look very promising. This was a game of mistakes.
Oh yeah. I mean, we never gave ourselves a shot, Tim, because we kept, like, the thing is like, it's a hard match to actually gauge either team, because like, is Sevilla good? I don't know.
Yeah,
we gave them 3 goals. Right. They didn't really have to do anything after that. It was just kind of a hard one. That Daniel Loss free kick. Yeah. My gosh, that was so bad. I really struggle with the thought there to do that. Creates a quick counterattack. Papu Gomez has a nice shot. I think it's inside post because Mama gave up the inside post. The second goal was worse. Second goal was really heart-wrenching because it was just like a big bounce over our keeper.
I've never seen anything like it, Sam. I've never seen anything like it.
So bad. Mama just looked shell-shocked. He didn't know what to do. Really terrible. Then the third goal, Raf Mir, who just this past week grew up in the Valencia Youth Academy, said if he scored out of respect for Valencia, he would absolutely not celebrate. He gets a one-on-one against with Alderete, chips it over Mama, and then he scores like he won the World Cup, like the World Cup, man. It was like, dude, it's 3-0, and you said you weren't going to celebrate. Like, what is this? Like, I get it.
It was a good goal. He got carried away. He got carried away.
Good goal. Whatever, dude. 20th minute, and you're up 3-0. Like, this is – I get it. If you're not going to celebrate and you score in the 90th minute or something to win or tie, you can't help but not react. But 20th minute, 3-0, this was an anticlimactic goal, dude. Like, come on. Give me a break. Rough.
Well, Bordalás seemed to agree in a response after the game. He said, I've made it clear. I think it has some very serious mistakes that weighed us down practically the entire game. And he said, essentially, the goals came from without build-up play. We had the ball for the first goal. The second was a tremendously powerful free kick. The third was a laughable goal. So I think you're kind of on point. Like, where we bad outside of that, where it was Sevilla very good. These are just very strange, not top level mistakes.
The onus was on us to get back into the game, and we didn't do it. The word that Bordalás used that I like hone in on in Spanish was infantiles, like infantile, right? Yeah. Like, these were infantile mistakes. Like, these were not mistakes of a serious football club. Of a serious football team. And it was atrocious. And I think there were, I think in a game like this, you do have to look at the coach. I do think that, like, it just didn't look like the players were ready. I think there were some questions, some reasonable questions about should Mama be starting, when he's perhaps looked a little less steady than he did those previous games. For me, I thought Mama should have been subbed out at half. We didn't give up any goals at the halftime, but I just thought, man, like, he can't play right now. Like, he's too shell-shocked. Like, his confidence is shot. Like, it reminded me a little bit of, like, the Iker Casillas, Netherlands, Spain-Netherlands game in 2014, where Spain lost 5-1, and it just looked like Casillas had just lost it. Yeah. Like, he just couldn't.
Well, it reminds me, too, of Diakabi last year when he could see that goal and he could see the red card or the foul in the box. And then
year before. Double. Yeah. Yeah. Against Atalanta. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Year before. Yeah. Wow. Year before. So it reminds me of that. I thought, too, that the only thing I would say to that, Sam, is, you know, how much do you crush a player when you sub him off like that? Because he's clearly a good shot stopper. I mean, he's had excellent performances up until this game. It was like two different players. It was really strange. I don't know. It was something.
Yeah.
And at Sevilla being away, I thought it wasn't really like him. He's had great play. So I don't know.
Just lost his
take him off there and give him a good pep talk. Or do you try to build a confidence in what is a 20? He's 20 years old.
Try to
give another shot, especially if you're already 3-0 down. Like, what's the harm of keeping him on just for his confidence? And you try to chase the game. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, anyway, we didn't give up more goals. I think it's hard. I do think that the kid needs more minutes, probably with Mestalla. I just think after a nightmare like that, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
the second goal, the bounce goal. And actually, you know, I was reading through some comments on the highlights, and, you know, he wasn't actually criticized as heavily as I thought. I mean, many people were saying only one of those goals is his fault. Fully, that was the bounce one, which was just bizarre. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, where you stop and freeze. The other two, I mean, the first one was a breakaway essentially,
but he gave one near post. gave up near post.
He did give it near post, and he was kind of frozen there. And then the third one with Ralph Moore, I think he was off his line too much. He shouldn't have been off his line there because Alderete was there. You forced the shot, see if you can get low. But I was actually more critical than the comments.
I mean, I think you can reasonably look at that. And we talked about this in the last pod, the goal for Benzema, that was a mistake for Mama too, right? Like he either like goes out enough to get that ball or he stays on his line.
Yeah. Good point. Good point.
But that was a bad one. I don't think he should have been blamed for the first goal against Real Madrid because that was a deflection, but that second one against Benzema, I thought that was bad goalkeeping.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, look, I love player. He's 20 though, and probably needs more experience. I think with playing with the Mestalla, I think would be a good way for him to get experience.
Mm-hmm.
Chilison though, I mean, clearly this is a professional keeper.
Yeah.
Who's at the highest levels. That save he made against Bilbao. Yeah. Against Athletic Club was excellent at the end of the game to make sure that we had a point. So yeah. I think that's to me, that's one takeaway. I do sort of think that if you look at some of the Valencia Twitter, there was a lot of criticisms about maybe he shouldn't have started Mama. I think that there's some reasonable points there. I also think about the starting Jason and then even playing Jason in this game against Athletic. Yeah. Jason, every time he touched the ball to me, Tim, he is hurting us. He's hurting us every time. He reminds me of Sabrina. He's like Sabrina 2.0. And I was looking at his stats. I was like, is this just Sam's imagination? Like, is it just because he like got that like really petulant red card and he like blew, he used to be a good player when he was at Levante. He was like their best player. But I looked to the stats every time he's on the field. We do poorly. He is, if you look at like the FB stats, every time the team does much worse with him on the field than with him without when he's not in the field. And when he's on the field, he has such a low percentage of being able to receive the ball and then being able to connect on a pass. Like he loses the ball at his feet or he doesn't pass it to someone. Like his percentages of maintaining possession are really, really poor. I struggle with justifying him starting over Yunus Musa against Sevilla. And then I also justify him coming in for Yunus Musa against Bilbao. I don't see what he does. We were texting about this. You brought up that you think he's at least someone who can press effectively, I suppose, but he also does really bad like tackles. He doesn't seem to like have an awareness of the game either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong.
The only thing I would think is the way I'm viewing it, maybe Bordalas sees this. He sees the performance and the potential. I think what one thing you could ask yourself is why would he start the game, then be subbed out at halftime against Sevilla, and then he plays again. Yunus Musa had a really good performance. So he started again. That's interesting to me. I'm not really sure what supported that. But you also have to think what Bordalas focuses on, and it's very much about effort, intensity. In practice, I'm sure it's a lot about pressure and showing up. And I can see Jason actually doing that. I could see him potentially being a really good, hardworking guy during the week. And maybe he's just giving him the time to say, hey, you deserve to start here. And then I'm curious why Helder Costa is not starting. Helder Costa, or at least coming in, why Helder Costa didn't come in against Athletic, and then Jason got on again. So those are the things I'm thinking about that maybe he wanted to give Jason and communicate why people are going to play and versus not play. But I think you're right though, Sam. I mean, universally, I think on Twitter and anyone, I mean, he's just not up to the level. He's very quick, Sam. He's quick and he's somewhat pace. He has a lot of pace, but he can't defends one-on-one, and he can't really evade players. He gets tracked down so quickly. He just
so not quickly. Very
effective.
Yeah. And he's really bad at passing too. I mean, he's he can pass it like backwards to his right back, but forward passes with Jason, I think are really scarce. Yeah. I struggle with that. It is interesting. Why is Elder Costa, who seemed to be like, you know, a player that I mean, personally, I was really excited about him coming in this year.
Yeah.
Why is he not getting in? Clearly it's something about probably what his practice looks like.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, I'm surprised by that. It does just show like how massive to me this Carlos Soler injury was, because we have Carlos Soler. We look great against Real Madrid. He comes out. We still look great. But, you know, it takes a little bit of time for that. Really, like, we had a lot of momentum in that game. We were playing at the Mestalla. But then I think, you know, two games later, not having Carlos Soler and having to play Jason instead of having Carlos Soler with Eunice coming on off the bench, right? Like, that's a fundamentally different situation than having to do Eunice, Jason. So, we talked about this year, we have more depth. We do have more depth than we did last year, but we're still, you know, pretty vulnerable when we have a couple of key injuries and positions where we don't have a lot of depth. We don't have a lot of support. So,
Yeah, I mean, it's a very different team. I think one thing that Bordalas had mentioned is, hey, we can't really think about when asked, you know, the difference between Unit A and Unit B. And he's like, you know, we really can't think about that. We got to think about the players that are out there. And I think the team, what's one thing we have to criticize maybe Bordalas about is, even if we did have this Unit B without Gaiad Soler, we still shouldn't start like that and concede those goals. I mean, we can't.
Yeah. Absolutely. We can't
come out like that. So I think that's on Bordalas. I think that's the one check maybe against him to not have a prepared team. And one thing I thought about, Sam, maybe before, I don't know if you have more on this game, except maybe some standout performances. I know we want to talk about Guillaume, but I thought about that first quick free kick from Wass, you know, and that was unlike him. And I thought how direct we play. And I'm curious whether he wanted to take that quick, long free kick, because if you look, we try to find that space a lot. We play very direct out to the left, out to get us. Did Bordalas emphasize that and he wanted to play quickly on set pieces and it results in that goal? And so I don't know. But I think you have to look at Bordalas for at least the first half hour of Sevilla.
Yeah. It looked like the team wasn't prepared. And I think that has to be on the coach. I agree. And I also think there are some reasonable criticisms of the personnel decisions for that game, including Mama and Jason. Although I understand that there's not a lot of support behind Yunus Musa, but at least starting Yunus Musa to me would have made a lot more sense than starting Jason. But but outside of that, I mean, if I'm going to try to find some nuggets of optimism in this game, Tim, and I think this is now where we can bleed into the Athletic Club match. Ugo Duro looks like a real player. He looks like a really solid player. He scored, of course, two straight games, but even against Athletic Club, he had a lot of, he didn't score, but he had a lot of confidence. He's good with the ball at his feet, a lot of forward passes that are effective. I was really impressed with him. This wasn't his natural position, playing out as a winger. And so I was kind of on it. I thought we were going to see a little bit of what, like, we would see with Vallejo when he would play on the wing, where I didn't think he was as effective. I thought Vallejo was really better as a kind of second striker. But Ugo Duro was actually really quite good. That's one player that I was really, really proud of. And also Fulkier, Tim. Fulkier in this Athletic Club match. Really, what a strong player we got for such a limited, a little investment. You think about these two players, 8 million is what they cost. That's assuming we use the purchase option, the buy option for Ugo Duro. Yeah, I mean, $8 million for these two players. They're really, really strong players. So impressed with Fulkjær in these three games that he's had to come in and well, outside of Sevilla. I mean, I don't think you could blame Fulkjær for what happened in Sevilla. He was really unrelated to what happened, but he looked really, really good against Athletic Club as well.
Yeah, and I think Bordalas gave him the nod too. I mean, he was playing pretty defensively in the Athletic game, but I think he held his own. He did really well against that kind of left side of Athletic. So Fulkjær, I mean, I want to comment on Hugo Duro. I didn't expect Sam for him to be this good. I thought he would be like a Vallejo. He'd be coming off the bench. I mean, he's just 21 years old. I didn't see a lot of him at Hetafe before. I don't know if you did, but I'm very surprised by his composure. Very well-timed runs. I think he just plays with a maturity level that exceeds his age, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this could be a really big player with time. So I'm really pleased, Tim. If we're transitioning to the Athletic Club match, one player I think we need to talk about is Maxi, because he was the talking point for this game, Tim. He was so brilliant in the first half. I was watching the first half and I was like, man, every touch, he's like little touches with the ball, with his back against the goal, were so good. These little flicks to Guedes, like these little touches, these little moments of holding the ball off. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, he loses his marker for the goal for Inigo Martinez to score. And then he had a really poor yellow card decision on him, but with a player that was not in an extremely dangerous position, he does a silly clear off the ball foul that results in like a pretty obvious yellow, which sends him off. That was tough for me, because he's been so good and you and I have been defending him, but man, what an incredible, like some really poor moments from a player who's really exceptional, player.
Yeah.
It reminds me, Tim, of, you know, you are so good on your first date, your second date. Then you sometimes have these moments, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you text me when it's happening.
Yellow card moments.
Yeah. Yellow card moments where you forget her name. And then she calls you out because you use a different name. And then you say, well, what's the purpose of a name anyway? And you like double down on it. And then you get annoyed that like,
and then I raise my voice a little bit. I get very defensive. And it's just, it like 3 out of 4 times that's happened, but.
These are lies, listeners. Tim is a wonderful listener.
No, I just look confused. I just sit there. I'm like, what? I just look confused.
Yeah.
Sam, I think this, I would say to this is like, is Maxi subbable? Do we sub Maxi for some reason? He's been deemed kind of this unsubbable person. He probably has the most minutes. We could probably look that up. Probably the most minutes last year. He seems to play almost 90 minutes every game. And he should have come off, I think, at that point before the yellow. The yellow, they might contend that, I guess, and challenge it, because it was kind of at the halfway mark of the fields and he wasn't really getting that goal. They weren't on a fast break, but it was a silly foul because we had players behind it. But yeah, I mean,
he didn't play the ball, comes off and gets
the red card. Marcos Andre comes on and he gets the goal. And I think that sends a symbol or a signal to the fans that, hey, Maxi needs to come off, because he does have those moments where he's not getting a lot. He's not getting a lot done and he kind of falls off.
Yeah. He sometimes has these moments of where he seems a little petulant. I did hear a rumor, Tim, that he threatened to headbutt our old coach Celades, Albert. So I mean, he is an emotional player, and And yeah, I mean, I think Bordalas, like, if I look at Maxi, it's like, this is Bordalas' dream player. Like, I feel like he's you know, and so
I would love to have him as my forward. Want that forward just causing problems all the time, being annoying, getting those fouls. He's
contesting
excellent.
Every header.
He goes up for every header. He wins a lot of headers. He's really, really great. And I think when Soler comes back, Gaia's back, Correa's back. I mean, we saw a lot of the more chances, more distribution into Maxi. I think he's going to get more goals when those guys are back. Because I think the criticism right now is like, hey, he's doing a lot of work, but he's like, a Firmino. He doesn't score any goals. You know, he doesn't have really good chances or something like that. So I think he's going to get more chance. We don't give him a lot of distribution. It's just in these moments when we need to have someone else come on. And I think we have him now with Marcus Andre. We got to look to sub him and maybe give Andre a chance.
Who looked good, Tim. I mean, I think, again, the reason why I think this is not the end of illusion for us is that some of our depth players look really good. Maybe Ugo Duro is like a starter when everything settles. But Fulcure is really good. Marcos Andre, really good. I'm optimistic about this team. I just think there are certain positions like where Soler plays that after Soler, Yunus Musa is excellent, but then there's a huge drop off. So, you know, we need to get some of these players back. Lato, you know, has looked pretty good, right? Yeah. So I think there's reason to feel good. It's just, man, we had three players go down in a game, in a really competitive game. And then we had two games in the same week and then another game next week. So it's just a really bad timing where we're having a cluster of games for us to get like a triple injury in the first half against Real Madrid, right? Like that's tough.
Yeah.
But I still feel like the team, you know, and with Athletic Club is a really good team. I mean, I watched this game and I thought Valencia looked really dangerous in the first half. I thought Athletic Club looked really organized. I mean, it's a Marcelino team.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that like a 1-1 tie, given the substitutions, given the injuries that we have, is something that we should look down upon. Like, I think this is a really strong team with a well-coached, who's really well-coached, and we had to fight to get a 1-1 tie, even with the man down. So I think it's not a terrible result.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I agree with your assessment of the first half. I think it was pretty even, not a ton of chances. I think Musa had a really good chance on the right-hand side that came from Maxi. Maxi picked the ball, gave him a ball on the right. And then Wass had a really good take too, Sam. Wass, every once in a while, has a take on goal, man. It's just so, so dangerous. Yeah. But Sam, their goal came from what a corner again. So again, I think it's one thing we have to think about is we can't concede goals and set pieces. The Guillamon, the marking was very suspect. You know, he kind of slid right in between Max and Guillamon. I don't know who was maxing or who was marking whom there. And but I thought we looked good in the run of play in our defensive shape. So we looked organized as well. I thought we looked good there.
Yeah. I thought we looked good. And the Yunus play, Tim, you know, his shot, it reminded me a lot of Ferran, right?
Like, yeah, that was a very Ferran sort of play.
Stretched out on the wing, he beats his player, cuts to the left. Ferran does have maybe a better left foot than Yunus has shown so far. But Yunus is a player to also feel excited about. And remember, like, beginning, everyone was really excited about Aaron Barry coming in and being our six. And we have a better player now named Hugo Guillamon. I mean, he has been huge for us, enormous, Tim. I love this player so much. He's becoming my favorite player on the team.
Yeah, I mean, you called it, I think, at the beginning of the season, who the standout player would be, Guillamon. And he's really becoming that guy. I mean, again, I looked up his stats. He had by far the highest completion passing rate. He had the most passes, almost the most touches. So much of our play comes through him and Sam. And so much of our defensive shape and ball winning comes from him too. So not only is he distributing the ball, He wins the ball and tackles. I mean, he's all over the place. He just had outstanding games. And the goal came from just a beautiful chip pass over to Guedes before he crossed into Marco Andre. Man, his passing is just fantastic. He's probably one of the better passes on our team right now. Long range
unlocks defenses too, because it's not always predictable. Like sometimes you see these sixes that are really good at these kind of intermediate passes, and they're always kind of passing around the defense. But man, he knows when to have an incisive pass and when not to. I mean, I'm keep watching him, and I keep getting more and more impressed with him. This is a player who I wouldn't be surprised him in this position could be starting for Spain in 2023.
Love that prediction. I mean, dude, Sam, he's so smooth, man. He has just that composure on the ball, you know, and he's always in places too where he has that. I dare to say the comparison, but some of the Parejo tact, where, you know, he's looking to pass one way, he'll top the ball, kind of roll it back, he'll fake going left, and he'll just kind of work spaces so well. And it's just astonishing. He's just 21 years old. He plays like he's 28 too. Very mature player. And he's like 5'7", and he wins probably 90% of headers too. I mean, God, he's just, we get so much out of him. He's going to be starting for us for as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, he's super special to him. And he wants to stay in Valencia for a really long time. So
love that.
You know, I mean, I think that's the really big thing. The reason why this season is so critical is because of so many players that we have on short-term contracts, including Carlos Soler and Jose Luis Gaya. And we have to do enough this year so that we can convince them to stay, and then also have enough money, getting enough salary cap so that we can afford to extend them. So, this is a huge year. It wouldn't be a year, you know, I think if we don't win Champions League, it's still like possible that we could keep those players, but you really want to finish definitely in the European spots.
Yeah.
And right now, which we're not in. So we need to, I'm not putting the panic button out, Tim, but I also like to see us accumulate some points, including against Cadiz, Tim, this week.
Cadiz,
a team
I know
that, of course, we have a tortured history with. The what is the player's name that
I have to look? Who I don't want to misspeak, and we were gonna look this up. I can't remember.
Of course, the last time we played Cadiz, it was a debacle because a player made a racial comment against Diakabi.
It was Juan Cala. Yeah, it was Juan Cala.
Cala then said, of course he didn't say this, and posted pictures of him with African babies, which I cannot believe people didn't make a bigger deal of. Like, what a clown this guy was.
Yeah.
What a total jerk. And Valencia had to, but during the match when this happened, we left, and then the ref told us that we had to go back on or they would deduct more points from us. And because we were worried about relegation, we came back on. But the whole thing was a total farce. If we had a proper manager, he would not have let us go back. And then you have Diakabi sitting on the sidelines as like Juan Cala is celebrating when Cadiz scores. It's just, the whole thing was gross. So I'd love, Tim, to have this trip to Andalusia be a lot sweeter than our last one against Sevilla, and us to get 3 points, Tim. That's what I'm gunning for.
I love that. Yeah, also, you missed, you left out the very awkward video, a message from Anil Murthy where Diakabi is just like standing off to the left and he's not saying anything. And they were like in the hallway. It was like so awkward. Like everything was so awkwardly
weird
handled. It was so strange. I think that last game, I think we lost that game, unfortunately. So I think
we lost that game.
We lost that game 2-1. They let Juan Cala play second half. So I think we need to come back and we need to take 3 points from Cadiz, and we really, really need it, Sam. And I think the team is gunning for European spots. I think afterwards I saw an interview with Paulista And it seems as if, you know, their sights are on Europe, man. I think we can do it. I think the team believes they can do it.
Yeah, and I still think Champions League is not out of the question. Obviously, you have Sevilla accumulating a lot of points. You have Real Sociedad. Atletico Madrid dropped points over this week. They haven't looked hugely impressive to me so far, but they have, like, maybe garnered more points than their performances should really suggest they deserve. But Real Madrid looks strong. Barcelona's looked terrible, but you have to expect Barcelona will at some point sort it out once they fire Ronald Koeman.
Well, Depay keeps scoring. That's interesting. Yeah, he's actually scoring. And then Luke De Jong.
And Ansu Fati scored for them too.
Yeah. Well, another thing too, we got to pull out, talk about is, I think it's like the story of the week of Rayo. Falcao has scored, I think, 3 goals in 3 games.
Oh my gosh. I know, yeah. They're ahead of us.
They beat Cadiz 3-1. Falcao scored again.
Falcao keeps scoring.
So great.
Yeah.
Love to see that.
It's, I saw someone make the comparison of James and, like, should be his peak is like going to go play in the Persian Gulf somewhere for like lots of money, and Falcao for very little money is willing to play for Rayo Vallecano just so he can have a chance in a top league.
I love that. But you have to remember, he left Atletico Madrid.
He went to Monaco.
That's right. Party in Monaco. A nice life. It's a great lifestyle, you know. He could have probably
South
played
France everyone. Is beautiful, Tim.
Went to Monaco. I love that. All right, well, Sam, looks like Cadiz is having a tough run of it. They're coming off a 3-1 loss against Rayo. They tied Barcelona in that strange red card game. They did beat Celta, but Celta's in really poor form. Lost to Sociedad, Osasuna. So knowing all this, knowing this is away at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, afternoon game, what's your prediction?
I'm guessing a 3-0 win, Tim. 3-0 win.
Love that.
Back to the 3-0 winning days.
I love it. We aren't going to concede a goal, huh?
No, not this one. Silicon's going to start. Yep. Eunice is going to start. We're still going to be without Soler, Jose Luis Gaya, Correa, and Maxi Gomez. So we're going to be starting Marcos Andre on top with Guedes. We haven't said anything really about Guedes this show. But listeners, if you haven't been watching, Guedes has been excellent. We'll be playing Hugo Duro, along with, of course, Wass and Guillamon. And yeah, we're going to end Fulkier and Aldrete, Paulista in the back. And it's going to be a 3-0 win, Tim.
Yeah, I love that. I don't know where you're getting the 3 goals from here, but maybe we'll do. I think we scored 1 goal last 3 games. We're going to win 2-0. We're going to get a little nice late winner from maybe Hugo, maybe Marcos Andre. We're going to get that second goal. But also, Sam, I want to point out a lot of this comes down to which Danny Wass we get.
That's true.
So I feel like now that we don't have the Gaia, we don't have Soler, it really comes down to how well Wass plays, I'm finding. Because Guillamon is Guillamon. I think he's pretty consistent. But maybe going forward, I'm finding that we're relying, his position becomes much more important, less so when Soler is on. So I think Danny Wass is going to have a great game, and I think we're going to win 2-0.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I mean, not to go back to the Sevilla match, Tim, because we're about to wrap up, but I wonder, and I had suggested that we do this before the Sevilla match, but if we had just gone into that environment, which we knew was going to be intense, we had just played a really tough game against Real Madrid, why not play Rosic and have a little bit more of a defensive shape in your midfield starting out the game, like playing Jason? I really struggled with that decision. However, I have to trust Bordalas, who has our team playing a very attractive style of football, and not just a bastardly style of football.
Well, and Jason did come on. Jason did come on as a sub, and he was part of the two subs that secured that goal. I mean, it didn't really come from him, but you have to take that into account, I guess. Yeah. But he really has had a bad showing. I'm just really wondering when Helder Costa is going to get some minutes here. Maybe it's just taken a bit for him to to get his form. Maybe he hasn't been doing well in practice, or his attitude. I don't know. But I'm hoping that turns a corner, and then you can split time between Yunus and Costa. Given Soler's out. So I will say, too, the Rosic thing, it doesn't seem like Bordalas likes Rosic. It doesn't seem to be very encouraged by him. Think Rosic has had some rough starts. Positionally for us. He has tended to be much less organized, I think, than what we've seen last year, you know?
Yeah. I think the injury, I really chalk a lot of that up to the his injury. Yeah. And I think he's gonna be, you don't just lose all your talent. He was so good last year for us. So yeah. I'm hoping he's gonna be, I don't know that he gets a lot of minutes. But I'd like to see him get some more minutes.
Yeah.
Because Tim, if we lost Guillaume, we'd be in real trouble. Had an injury to Guillaume, that would be really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. He's such a key position for us now. All right, Sam, with that, we bid you farewell. Any other closing comments for us? Any words of encouragement for the listeners out there?
Just Tim, I'm thinking about the pod taking a Spain trip.
Love this.
Perhaps next fall, year from now. We put that on the calendar and start thinking about that. And listeners, those of you in Spain, we hope to meet some of you in person at the Mestalla or other stadiums. Where we'll be celebrating the boys with the bats.
It's been far too long. And Sam, also a little word to the listeners. We're planning to get Paco back on. What week is it now? Match week 6 or so.
Yeah.
So we're going to check in with Paco. I'd love to get his thoughts on Bordalas so far. And of course, Sarah Brone, the astute.
Yeah.
Sarah Brone, we'll get them back.
Yeah. On. We should get one of them on for the international break. Since we're going to have, after the caddies, we'll have an international break. So we should do that.
Which is good for us. It was bad for us before, but yeah, as you mentioned, not much better for us. Okay. Well, all very exciting. We'll see you in Spain next year. We'll be chatting with Sarah Brone and then Paco in the coming weeks. Check in is like a quarter way check in for the All right, Sam, with that, adios.
Talking out, Tim.
Talk to you later.